Sure hope this is not my last show. I don't think it is. I'm hopeful that it's not going to be. So with your support, you know, we will be on for a long, 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 long time. Maybe till I'm around 100 years old. Anyway, I wanted to let you remind you as well that tonight is the first of February film nights at the Train Studio, and that's located at 964 Bathurst, just north of Bloor Street, pardon me. And it's a CKLN celebration of African Liberation Month, and doors open at 6 for panel discussion. At 7 p.m., there's going to be a musical performance by Michael Shan Trio, the Michael Shan Trio, and at 8 p.m., screening of Lady Day, The Many Faces of Billie Holiday. So please do come out and support CKLN. We need your support. Spread the word. Tell them the people to sign that petition. And also, when I did my Black Addicts in Recovery show last week, I realized that some of the part of the show wasn't online. I'm going to let you know that you can check out, I'm going to post the whole show online at www.inthemiddleofthepassage.blogspot.com, and you go there and you can check out all my this whole show in its entirety, 3 hours. Thanks to Daniel Liberty, my man Daniel Liberty, DJ Liberty, Daniel Liberty. And word of mouth coming up next, and we're going to keep the spirit of College Community Radio alive. I know he is. I'm going to do my best. I'll see y'all next week. Peace, love, and of course, guidance. I'm outie.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word up. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday for February the 9th, 2011. And we got a big show coming up tonight. We're going to be talking about the Radio Regulators special dedicated to the CRTC. Joining us back in the studio is a voice you've heard from the past, Robin Nieto, longtime co-host, is back in the studio. He's got prepared an interview with Shane Moffitt, the legal advisor of Greenpeace. And plus, first up, he's going to be planning to speak with a representative of the NCRA to speak with us about this whole community radio association and what's been going on with community radio, an interview with Freya Zoltz. So that's what Robin Nieto has got planned for us. And then also around 7:30, we're hoping to be speaking with Jody Emery, welcoming back the wife of the Prince of Pot back onto the show. We're going to speak about the Free Mark Emery campaign and everything that Jody Emery's been working on out in Vancouver. Plus, we're going to be talking about, you know, the news headlines, what's gone on this past week, and everything, you might want to know on Word of Mouth Wednesday, so stay tuned. First up, though, we're going to be going to, I'll just play a quick commentary here. This is a commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal on the topic of WikiLeaks, and then we'll be right back. And also, just wanted to make sure I shout out Victor Baines Marshall. You know, just because the Middle Passage, you can tune in every Wednesday and hear Victor Baines Marshall on the Middle Passage. He's doing some great work, and great work on the weekend as well, on the Black Addicts in Recovery special. African Liberation Month is going on right now. Word up. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
WikiLeaks effect. As these words are being spoken, U.S. allies in the Middle East are trembling. From the streets of Tunis to Alexandria to Cairo, tens of thousands are demanding not only democracy, but an end to their dictatorships. Dictatorships that are, by the way, armed and supported by the U.S. empire. What drove these people into the streets were the wiki revelations of the puppetry, corruption, and servility of their leaders to U.S. and Western interests. Many of these leaders, who've led for lifetimes, have amassed enormous wealth while generations of youth pass through life jobless, unfulfilled, and brutally bullied by the police forces of the dictatorships, often police trained, equipped, or both by U.S. agencies. WikiLeaks revealed American diplomatic cables reflecting U.S. knowledge and acquiescence of their puppet state's corruption, torture, and brutality. They didn't care how cruel nor corrupt these countries were, as long as they served U.S. interests, that is, stability, or quiet in the face of U.S., Western, or Israeli aggression in the region. Egypt receives billions of U.S. bucks every year to buttress its dictatorship. This spate of rebellions in Muslim states is especially important given the recent news that many leaders were privately urging the U.S. to attack Iran. For this shows that few spoke for their people. They spoke for a narrow, parasitical ruling clique. If change comes to the region, it won't be because of U.S. efforts, but in spite of them. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and we're just going to throw it to the longtime host of Word of Mouth, Robin Nieto, who's in the booth right there. Robin, how's it going?
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks. It's good to be back, but kind of tragic in that this is our last Wednesday Word of Mouth if the CRTC gets its way. This has left everyone here at CKLN in shock. It's been the news for us since the decision was made. This being the CKLN's news program on Wednesday Word of Mouth, I wanted to dedicate the show to this issue of the CRTC's decision to shut down CKLN. This station will go off the air this weekend. Now, everyone at CKLN is doing their best to try to stop this. And like Victor Baines Marshall said, you know, this isn't his last show. You know, he will continue. And I think everyone at CKLN who has a show here feels the same way. We've all been volunteering now for years. I think Victor Baines Marshall probably for the last 21 years, Victor Baines Marshall has been on CKLN. And so I want to thank him for that kind of dedication. Remember, Victor Baines Marshall is a volunteer here at the station for 21 years. He's been giving us excellent programming, music that you can only hear on the Middle Passage right here on CKLN. And that's why this show is dedicated to this decision by the CRTC to shut down people like Victor Baines Marshall, the show, The Middle Passage, something that you cannot hear anywhere else. And this is what we're going to be talking to Freya Saltz about. She's on the line with us now to talk to us about whether something like this has ever happened before in the history of this country, in the history of radio, where the CRTC has actually decided and made a decision to shut down a radio station. Hello, Freya. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Freya, can you address this question? This has left us all in shock at CKLN. We are doing the best we can to try to rectify this situation. But can you put the context? Can you place context here on this decision? Has this ever been done before in this country?
Well, I guess. Just to explain, it has never happened in this particular way. So the CRTC has occasionally before revoked the license of a station. I mean, it has quite often on request of a station. If there's a licensee that wants to shut down, there are lots of decisions the CRTC has made granting those requests. But in terms of revocations that are unwanted, the CRTC, as far as I know, has done it twice. And one of those times was, I think, about 5 years ago. One time was in 2010, but both of them were situations where quite a number of less punitive measures had been imposed on the licensee before the license was revoked. So the licensee was given numerous opportunities to fix the problems that the CRTC identified before a revocation finally occurred. So in the one that happened in 2010, I believe there had been six previous different kinds of orders made regarding noncompliance with the radio regulations before revocation was imposed. And in CKLN's situation, those less punitive steps were not taken first.
We're speaking to Freya Saltz. She is from National Campus Radio Association. Freya, you are a lawyer, right?
I am. Yes, I don't work I work on a volunteer basis for the sector, and my legal work is in a different area.
Okay.
But I am a lawyer, yes.
Okay, so now that the license, can you give us a bit of background on the license and the process of having a radio station in this country? Because I did some research on this through the internet and through Google. It's not so easy, not very clear when it comes to what the process is to actually get a license. If you can just tell us if you have some background on that, can you tell us what it takes to actually get a license and to keep a station?
Yes. So to get a license, depending on the type of license that's being sought, in your case it would be a campus-based community or community-based campus license. I always get the order of the words mixed up. But for campus or community radio stations, they're licensed under the same policy now. And that policy sets out a bunch of requirements in terms of structure and services and funding and mandate of those kinds of stations. So they must be run by a not-for-profit incorporated organization. They must provide programming and content that is different from what's provided by public radio and commercial radio. And then there are a whole bunch of stipulations with respect to content, Canadian content, amount of spoken word programming, amount of programming in music that's not from the most popular genres, all those kinds of things. And so in order to obtain a license, incorporated entity that meets those criteria would apply for a license and would have to prove to the commission that they're capable of meeting all of those various requirements. And they also have to submit an engineering information through a separate application to Industry Canada for use of a particular frequency and to cover a certain range with their signal. And once Industry Canada approves the technical aspects, then the CRTC would consider the license application. And the process has changed somewhat since CKLN first obtained its license. So, and there are, I think, quite different requirements in place in terms of content, and the expectations of a station have changed to some degree. The way the CRTC functions has changed to some degree. So I think, especially for stations that have been around for a long time, some of them are caught a little bit by surprise when they see that that things have changed, especially when people have been around since the beginning and they may not have been kept up to date on the regulatory changes that have come into effect.
Can you tell us something about the cost to actually apply for a license with the CRTC? What is involved with costs?
Not very much. The only necessary cost is the engineering brief. If you're asking in terms of CKLN reapplying for a license, which is a possibility if the revocation goes through, the engineering brief would already exist. And my understanding is that the same one could be used to apply for a new license because nothing would change with respect to the technical signal parameters. An engineering brief can cost anywhere from a few thousand dollars to $15,000 or $20,000, depending on the scope of it. Then otherwise, it's a matter of the station purchasing the necessary equipment once a license application is approved. But the cost of applying is nothing, and it's more an issue of time and understanding the requirements and responding to all of the CRTC's questions. There tends to be quite a long, involved process in getting them all the information they need before they approve a license application. And there are different types of licenses as well. So brand new licensees that don't have any experience broadcasting can go through a simpler process and a cheaper process to get a license. And that license would be in place for 5 years, and then they would be expected to upgrade it to a regular license.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. The first one is the frequency 88.1 FM.
Yes.
Is Is this like a piece of real estate that is now open to other buyers at this point once your license gets revoked?
Conceivably, yes. I mean, I don't think the CRTC would accept applications for it as long as there's still a dispute going on about their decision to revoke the license. But theoretically, and once the dispute is resolved, if it's resolved against CKLN, then that frequency will be open and available for others to apply for. And not just that frequency, but the entire area that's currently inhabited by CKLN. So, for example, if you're at 88.1, a station at 88.3 or 88.5 is prohibited from increasing their power to such an extent that they would encroach on the outer edges of the area that's covered by 88.1. But if 88.1 is no longer in use, then other stations that are next door neighbors can apply to change their technical parameters to increase their power or change any aspect of their technical operation so that they would encroach on that territory, and then 88.1 would either no longer be available for anyone else, or it would be available only covering a much smaller area.
So now, when a license is revoked, and do you know, because I know this hasn't happened to this level, I mean, what is the next step, and what and how long could that take?
Well, there are a few different options. First of all, my understanding is that CKLN can continue to broadcast on the internet, and that's not regulated by the CRTC in any way, so that could continue indefinitely. And then as far as other steps go for regaining a broadcasting license, there are a few different ones. One would be appealing the CRTC's decision to the Federal Court of Appeal, and that right of appeal is set out in the Broadcasting Act. It does require leave of the court, so the court has to agree that there's something worth appealing. When something is appealed, it's also possible to apply for a stay of the decision, which means that the decision to revoke the license would not take effect until after the decision on the appeal is made. It's hard to say in advance whether the court would agree to an application to stay or whether they would find for CKLN on an appeal, but those two things are being pursued, as far as I understand, by the organizers at CKLN, and they could certainly speak in more detail about what they've done and what they expect. If a stay was granted and the appeal process went all the way through in terms of a hearing at court and waiting for a decision, it could be a year or more. I don't have any sense of how quickly the Federal Court of Appeal functions in terms of getting matters scheduled or how long they take to render decisions, but it wouldn't be immediate by any means. Another option would be for CKLN to convince its Member of Parliament, who I understand is Bob Ray, and for other people across the country to convince their Members of Parliament that they should try to convince Cabinet to issue an order in council requiring the CRTC to revisit and reconsider its own decision. Now, there are only certain circumstances in which that can occur, and I'm not certain whether all the requirements are met in this case, but again, that's another option that's being pursued. My understanding is that the CRTC can't or is extremely unlikely to reconsider its own decision without being required to, either by the court or by the government, but one of the things that's been suggested is that people can, in addition to contacting their MP, they can also contact the CRTC through their online comment process and provide their comments on the decision that's been made. And in particular, the decision contains, at the end of it, a dissenting opinion by one of the commissioners, Louise Poirier, who is in on the side of CKLN and says that she very strongly disagrees with the decision of the rest of the commissioners. And I think it's really important for people to refer to her dissent and say that they agree with her and they support what she has to say about this being too heavy-handed. And the CRTC, even if it can't use those comments to reconsider its own opinion, would certainly take those comments into account if required to reconsider its opinion later on. So those are possibilities. And then the third possibility would be for CKLN, if the other avenues fail, to apply for a new broadcasting license. So as if it doesn't have one right now, and it could certainly use the 27 years of experience as evidence for why it would be well suited and well prepared to obtain another broadcasting license, and the application would have to convince the CRTC that the problems that had occurred recently that led to noncompliance had been taken care of, and give the commission enough confidence to assure them that noncompliance won't occur again.
Freya, thank you very much for that that excellent legal perspective. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And just before I end this interview, you are from the National Campus Radio Association. You represent radio stations across, your organization represents radio stations across the country?
It's the National Campus and Community Radio Association, short form NCRA. And I'm on the board of directors. I'm a volunteer member of the board, and the position that I hold is called Regulatory Affairs Director. So I represent the association as well as any of its 80 member radio stations across the country who have regulatory issues and need assistance. I can help them with any kinds of CRTC procedures or legal issues that arise.
And I know you have to go, Freya. Just my last question in terms of a precedent that this sets for the rest of campus and community radios across the country.
Well, I think it's a serious concern, mainly because, there are two reasons. One of them is that CKLN was certainly in noncompliance, and that's not in dispute. The question is whether the efforts that have been made by the station since then are enough that the CRTC should have assisted the station to get back on its feet rather than shutting it down. And so I think one of the concerns that arises is that although most stations don't have noncompliance issues as serious as CKLN had, most stations, most campus or community stations across Canada operate on very low budgets. They have, many of them have lots of volunteers and very few staff. Many of them have staff who have no prior training in regulatory matters. And I think it's quite common for them to have some minor areas of noncompliance, not on purpose, and certainly I think they all do their very best to comply with all of the requirements, so it's not for lack of good faith, but people make mistakes. It's very difficult to supervise hundreds of volunteers at one time, and I think it's to be expected that there would be some imperfections. And so the concern is, if the CRTC is prepared to be this punitive regarding noncompliance, especially in a situation where a station is making heroic efforts to bring itself into compliance, then it's hard to say what that means for the rest of the sector. But I think stations are going to have to be much more vigilant about following all the requirements, which in some ways can take away from the time that they spend investing in training their programmers and creating good programming if they're spending time scrutinizing numbers and paperwork. And I'm not suggesting that work isn't important. Of course, it is important to meet the requirements, but I think we would prefer that the CRTC be somewhat reasonable in terms of what it expects of us and to put its expectations in context, considering the fact that we're not-for-profit entities, and we do what we do for the benefit of the community to provide a free community service.
Freya, thanks so much for joining us on our what will be our last show, and hopefully in the future we'll come back on the air, but this weekend we are off. So thanks so much for joining us on such an important show for us tonight.
You're welcome.
That was Freya Zaltz. She is director at the National Campus and Community Radio Association based in Vancouver. And over to you, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. The timing is right, I think, for a first here on Word of Mouth Wednesday. Even if you're saying it could be the last show here, this is actually going to be a first for me. It's actually the first time I'm going to play a music track here. The first time that I'm ever going to click or checkmark the category hit. This is the first hit music I've ever played on Word of Mouth Wednesday, and this one is dedicated to all the CRTC commissioners. This is a track, it's a classic 2009-2010 hit track by Michael Jackson. It's called This Is It, dedicated to all the CRTC commissioners and everyone out there listening. Word up. Much respect. Word of Mouth. Word of Mouth.
This is it. Here I stand, I'm the light of the world, I feel grand. This love I can feel, and I know, yes, for sure, it is real. And it feels as though I've seen your face a thousand times, and you said you really know me yourself.
Demonization, double standards, delegitimization. The three D's, it is a responsibility of us all to stand up to them. And I know, by the way, because I have the bruises to show for it, that whether it is at the United Nations or any other international forum, the easiest thing to do is simply to just get along and go along with this anti-Israeli rhetoric, to pretend it is just about being even-handed, and to excuse oneself with the label of honest broker. There are, after all, a lot more votes, a lot more, in being anti-Israeli than in taking a stand. But as long as I am Prime Minister, whether it is at the United Nations, the Francophonie, or anywhere else, Canada will take that stand, whatever the cost.
You cannot imprison 1.5 million people and not expect them to get very angry about it. That's exactly what Israel did. That is why the ceasefire broke out.
Protests and widespread condemnation against Israel have swept the world as its war on Gaza escalates.
Hundreds of civilians were wounded when 300 missiles struck Baghdad.
Israel has sent phone text messages to Palestinians in Gaza saying, leave your homes, leave your homes. What other country would do that?
It's weird how problems exist, how they continue and why they persist. Some is less on problems big, some is far over olives and figs. My problem is this, I lost my job, I just got robbed, I fell from God. But my problem is not at all, he lost his mom, he lost his dog. People have problems so they just throw rocks, right back tens with collected cops. Throw molotovs at Zion, Zion got no tags, how they blow themselves up. Throw your hands up, are they laughing at us? We blame them while the cancer is us. Look around us, divided as us.
Refugee camps full,
pull the borders up. Blow up you have, blow up you cause.
Friends are great and it's full of just stars.
This redemption song,
the fire is yours.
Stop your tenant and stand yourself up.
We is you and we count on us.
Compressed as one,
we damaged and rough.
Oh silence so deafening,
this silence is us.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That there is just 95.6, some local hip hop, and well, we're reaching out, I guess, outside of Toronto for this interview. We're calling out to Vancouver, where our next guest is joining us, and she is, currently the acting editor of the Cannabis Culture magazine, and she's with the Green Party she's with the Green Party, and she's the wife of the Prince of Pot, Mark Emery, who's currently in jail. And to give us an update on all the situation with the Free Mark campaign and everything in the cannabis culture, I'd like to welcome Jody Emery to the show today. Hi, Jody.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on the show, for returning on the show, and we're hoping it's not going to be our last show. We're not sure what's going on here with CKLN, with community radio, but with the criminalization, I guess, of all activism everywhere, that's where we've been talking about the Mark Emery situation. You know, we basically had it as our story of the year, 2010, and we've been playing clips, you know, from Mark Emery's farewell tour. We interviewed you a few months ago, and I'm just wondering, you know, what is the latest with Mark Emery situation?
Well, he's imprisoned in Georgia in a private prison facility. It's in the south of Georgia in a place called Folkston. He's one of only about 12 Canadians or so in there. Most people don't speak English. They're mostly Spanish-speaking because they're all non-Americans. So he's been sent there to serve his five-year sentence for selling marijuana seeds, which he did for a decade, using all the money made to generate funds for activism, political campaigns, elections, ballot initiatives, court cases, rallies, conferences. Mark was basically the go-to guy if anybody wanted to do anything to support cannabis law reform. So he funded the movement with millions of dollars, and the United States had him pulled from Canada to serve a sentence down there. He pled for a five-year sentence. His two co-accused got no time, and that was part of the plan. So instead of getting 30 years to life like he was facing, he's serving 5 years. And we're working on getting him transferred home to Canada because prisoners can apply under the International Transfer of Offenders Act to be moved from a foreign country back to their home country. And so Mark's application has been submitted to the Canadian government, but they don't make a decision until the U.S. government makes theirs. And thankfully, we've been able to get fundraisers to donate money to hire a U.S. lawyer who has sent in the U.S. application. So we expect a decision sometime around June from the U.S. Department of Justice, and hopefully they'll say yes, that Mark does apply or does qualify for the transfer to Canada. But we'll see what the Canadian government says after that.
Right, and the last time we had you on, it was right before the sentencing, I guess, and Mark Emery was in SeaTac in Washington State, I believe, and now you're saying that he's in a private prison in the state of Georgia. I guess why has this transfer gone on? Like why is Mark at the institute he's at now?
Well, he was designated for TAFT, which is a low-security prison in California. The judge said that he would go there, and he was designated for it, and he went from Seattle to Nevada, and when he got to Nevada, he thought that he would be sent right over to TAFT, but then he was sent to a sorting center in, I can't recall where it is, but it's somewhere where all the prisoners get sorted through. And from that point, he found out that he was designated to Georgia instead. But even his property from Seattle was sent to California. So somebody at the last minute changed his facility location. And D. Ray James is a brand new private prison. The facility itself is old. It used to be a state prison. But the federal government has hired Geo Group to run the facility. They get $1 million a week, but it's so badly run, and Mark has found so many problems and even illegal acts on behalf of the prison, which he documents online at cannabisculture.com in his newsletters and blogs. So I encourage people to read those to see what he really goes through, and that's not even all of it. And I do weekly videos on YouTube, which you can find by going to Pot TV Network, and I give updates about how Mark is doing, but for some reason he was sent to this facility with very few prisoners and many, many problems because nobody knows what they're doing. So it's even more frustrating for him than a facility would be that had been in operation for a while. But he's doing great things as always. Wherever Mark Emery goes, he brings a bit of attention and controversy and often, you know, progress. So the prison has pretty much corrected many of the problems that he's brought up in his blogs and online, and they've gotten in trouble just recently from the Bureau of Prisons for doing such a bad job running the place. So, you know, Mark at least has done his part to bring attention to how prisoners are treated in there, and hopefully that they can, you know, do a better job and leave it in a better place or a better way, so when Mark leaves, you know, he can come home, but everyone there will still have benefited from his being there.
For real, yeah, and that's the, you can find all these blogs on cannabisculture.com or freemark.ca. We got Prison Blog 25 up there now, newsletter number 2, and with all the information that's coming out, and what we've been seeing, I guess, talking about the politics and the, you know, the relationship with the Canada and the U.S. I know there was a big announcement last week. It was a big something about the border sharing, and Harper was in Washington at meeting with the President Obama. What did you think about that big announcement about this harmonization of laws and regulations?
It made me so sad for our country. That's our sovereignty handed over. All of our law enforcement is integrated now. All of our information is being shared with the U.S. All of our regulations, just as they said, from the cereal to fighter jets, everything is going to be on the same page. So, you know, people said that was a big conspiracy theory, but the Security and Prosperity Partnership was a real thing, and it failed. But the actual you know, plan continued under new names, and that's what was just signed. So, you know, we were told in 2005 that that's when the FPP was starting to really get noticed, and they said by 2010 it would be done with, and there you go, January 2011, it's done, signed, sealed, delivered, we're yours, America. You know, it's really, really disappointing, but I think Mark's arrest was kind of a preview of what it means, because you know, if we're all one country in terms of our economy and our rules, regulations, laws, you know, what else is there? Like, what makes us any different than a U.S. state? You know, Harper and them said, well, Canada can still make its own decisions. And I say, well, each state can make its own decisions, but it's still under the control of the rulers of the United States of America, and that's kind of what Canada is, and people have known that for a long time. We don't do anything here if it dares upset the big beast for the South, and the United States is a failing country. They're a failing state. That, you know, it's unsustainable that their number one growing economy is the imprisonment of people through the private prison industry. That's the fastest growing industry in the United States, and that's a sign of a country that's just imploding, and sadly Canada has just tied ourselves to that sinking ship, and you know, maybe we'll be saved a little just by being north and with our, you know, Arctic and all the wealth of riches that Canada has in terms of resources, but most of that's just going to go to feed America, and everybody knows that tar sands, that's all pumped going right straight down to the coast, and you know, it's all about these multinational corporations. So Canada is nothing but a resource-rich place with a lot of different ways for big government-funded companies to make money. It's really depressing, and I feel like Canada died when that news came out.
Right. Well. What about one headline that I saw that looked pretty good was the latest headline I saw on CannabisCulture.com, and that was speaking about Bill S-10, and it was speaking about the Liberal Party now saying they're opposed to it. Bill S-10 talking about mandatory minimums. What have you heard about this?
Well, actually, my friend works for Ignatieff, my friend who introduced me to Cannabis Culture and Pot TV. He'll remain unnamed, but he works with Ignatieff on Parliament Hill, and he sent me a message today saying, we have some really good news. We've decided to oppose Bill S-10. Now, Bill S-10 was first introduced as, I think, C-26, and then it came back as C-15, and then it died and came back as S-10. But during all that time, it was very close because the Liberals supported it the first time around. But now they've finally found the balls to stand up and say, no, this is a failed policy. It's expensive. In fact, it's so expensive that the government won't even tell us how expensive it is. So on that alone, you know, it's inappropriate for the government to expect the opposition to pass something that doesn't have a price tag on it. You know, their responsibility is to the taxpayer, so they're doing a good job for opposing S-10, and they also know that, you know, it's a failed policy that the U.S. is repealing in different states. You know, mandatory minimums don't work, and people realize that. But again, it's not about fixing the problem of crime. It's about all the money to be made that Harper and his buddies have seen the U.S. profit from. You know, it's all the same company. Geo Group will, you know, be happy to bring some prisons up to Canada. So that's pretty much what it's about. It's all about all the money that the government can get donated to their campaigns by these enormous groups who will come into Canada, lobby for tougher laws, get more people in prison, get more taxpayer money. And, you know, private prisons don't even operate at less of a cost to taxpayers. It's the biggest scam. That's what they sell themselves as. And Mark, as a libertarian, has always, you know, thought private business is better. But he sees that in this situation, private prisons claim to do a better job and spend less money, but they don't. And the worst part about that is there's no accountability. At least, you know, the Bureau of Prisons is a government agency. It has to respond to inquiries and the people. But when it's a private prison and they operate at the same cost, it's just somebody else pocketing all the money and not being held accountable for the atrocities that take place under their watch. So that's, you know, one of the most dangerous things is that Canada does not have private prisons yet, but I feel like they're knocking on the door, and that's why this mandatory minimum law was introduced. There's no other reason for them to want to imprison thousands and thousands of nonviolent Canadians, and that's the result of S-10. That's what would happen. So thank God the Liberals are finally, you know, standing up for something with the support of the people behind them, I hope. You know, people are encouraged to contact their Liberal reps and even just Liberal headquarters and say thank you for that, because the Conservatives will strike back hard. They're going to try and make it look like the Liberals are soft on crime and all that. So we need to make sure the Liberals know that this is a great decision they've made, and we need them to stick to it.
Right, right. And that's, you know, speaking about politics, you know, where we've got the liberals coming out here on opposing Bill S-10. We've got, in, you know, yourself, Jody Emery, with the Green Party. We've got in B.C., for the B.C. NDP leadership, a lot of the cannabis culture supporting Dana Larson's bid there for the leadership. So we got local politics going. And, you know, we talk a lot about the criminalization of marijuana. But one thing I want to bring up, though, is the medical aspects of marijuana, just because I've been seeing a lot of cannabis culture reports. From last week, I guess there was a Vancouver Can Med Fair. I was wondering, did you check out this fair, and how is this?
Yeah, I was promoting it for quite a while, and an enthusiastic supporter. We attended. I did interviews that will come out in a video on Pot TV this week. It was a great event. We haven't had any sort of expos in Vancouver before, and hopefully it'll continue, and we'll have more events like that, because Vancouver is a, you know, cannabis culture center. It's where a lot of history with marijuana has taken place. So it's kind of odd we haven't had expos or anything yet, but that's the beginning of it, and we have to remember we've got to flex our muscles and be sure to take stands, because as we've seen in other places like California, once it just gets too good and too easy, and people just sit back and have too much of a good time, then, you know, progress is not as easy to get, because people are just lazy. And so we need to remind people, get involved. You know, don't get too comfortable and think things are too easy, because it depends on you to make sure it doesn't get worse.
For real, for real, yeah. And thanks a lot, Jody Emery, for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you. And I encourage everyone to go to freemark.ca, write him a letter. It's his birthday on Sunday the 13th. So he would really appreciate some mail from people. So that's at freemark.ca, and that's with a C in Mark.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Jody.
Great. Take care. All the best to you guys.
Peace. Yeah, and that's Jody Emery there. You can check out freemark.ca. You can check out cannabisculture.com. Some other sites to check out. Check out the Toronto Hash Mob. Check out myrna.ca. Check out dopechef.com. Check out ckln.fm for this radio station's The Situation with what's going on at this radio station, as well as a petitiononline.com petition on CKLN. You can find the link ckln.fm. And we're going to be right back here to wrap things up on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Just wanted to play a track here. We'll throw it to Down Under. We'll throw it to Matta and Must on a track called No Zirconia. We'll be right back. Word of Mouth. Word is bond. Keep it real.
I don't melt crack rock. I rather melt tops of mics. Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe. I don't melt crack rock. I rather melt tops of mics. Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe.
A broken back, I'm flipping straight into a solar storm. A common cause, never thieve a page from a scholar's drawer. Fortune goes to the sun, reaching climatic cores. Grab positions and run to the galactic shore. Sitting on the rings of Saturn, crunching numbers, seeing patterns, eating rations. Lab rats consume passion while you succumb to fashion. Get enrolled to your socks. Kid, you aren't the champion, sticks and stones in a glass box. Through to the other side, focus on the great minds. Don't know for sure, heard it on the grapevine. Placid expectations aren't even testing me. Door in the sky, carbon diamonds so carefully. Ruby red tongue tempting the finest of saviors. Text exempt from society's behaviors. Wrists get shackled in cathedrals of science. Piss punks battle trying to unravel a tyrant. Think we don't hear while you're standing behind us. With your blade upraised and mate you stay lifeless. A spiral into atmospheric distortion. While you can't hold your own, taking more than your portion.
They don't melt crack rock, or rather melt tops of ice. Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe. I don't melt crack rock, or rather melt tops of ice. Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe.
It's all critics and gimmicks and fashion without limits. The result is no effect like water damn spirits. See through the flicks like x-rays, a swig, a tip and a page. A single phrase has got your mind flooded with brainwaves. And no fiction could be so potent to provoke addiction. Lab rats playing words, restraining out like hermits. Spitting third person versus herbal hermits. Form a nervous circus, thrashing any surface. Cause round here your penny's worthless. These frontal lobes overload like glucose in diabetics. Life ethics, addicts with the mind fetish. The fakes drink champagne and use candy cane names to gain alias fame. We burn light, naked flames. Quick to pen a sacred phrase, still hooked on an ancient craze. Years go by, we stay the same. Can't improve on nature's ways. Hip hop's in a state of change. My natural habits just to speak some organics. Still paranoid like Black Sabbath. White magic, black rabbits. Immortal strips, abnormal leaks, spark a composition. Bleeding lost wisdom through your hi-fi systems. Got your mind's eye dripping till my lungs collapse. This phony show pony, see the
law, law, but never run dry.
Don't melt crack rocks, a rapper melt tops of ice.
Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe.
Don't melt crack rocks, a rapper melt tops of ice.
Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe.
Don't melt crack rocks, a rapper melt tops of ice.
Blowing their minds like smoking a pipe.
Don't melt crack rocks.
What word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here. It is February the 9th, and it's hopefully not our last episode. Glad to see Robin, though, back.
Hey, Daniel.
Robin, how's it going? What are you thinking?
Daniel, this is unprecedented. You know, I work around the media, so outside of CKLN, and I've seen that this issue has been in all the major papers, right?
Yeah.
And I think if you're a journalist out there, you know, you would be in somewhat of shock that an actual station would be put off the air. And if we look at the reasons, I mean, let's look at this as a story. Like, here we are, CKLN, a Toronto community station. We are not a commercial station. You can listen to, you know, dozens of different voices. We have hundreds of volunteers. We represent the diversity of the city, and the station has been doing this for more than 27 years. I remember CKLN when I was a teenager listening to, you know, to what was then rap, like just when rap was coming in, you know, in the early 80s, like the earliest rap coming in. I was listening to right here at CKLN. CKLN was the station that was kind of subversive when it came to new music. It was something that when you listened to it, you felt like you were learning something. You were learning something about music, and that's when I was a teenager. So I invite listeners who are listening right now, who have been listening to CKLN for all these years, who when they have left the city or who are living here, would listen to this station to get something out of it. Give us a call here at the station, and Daniel's going to just list off the number there.
Yeah, it's 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655.
Yeah, we're open to your calls. This is our last show, according to the CRTC. I know that here at CKLN, no one wants to believe that it's the end this weekend, but the CRTC has ruled that this station must shut down. CKLN must shut down this weekend. That means that we will be off the air. So for us, according to the CRTC decision, this will be the last show for Wednesday Word of Mouth. This station will be off the air. This is why we're putting out a call to you, the listener, to give us a call. If you have been listening to CKLN for a while, if this station does mean something to you, give us a call at 416-595-1655. Tell us your own experience about CKLN, and we can tell you, you know, what you can do to try to reverse this decision of the CRTC. And the reversal of decisions of the CRTC are not uncommon. In fact, the CRTC has had to reverse a decision recently when it came to this internet billing. The federal government can step in and they can overrule decisions of the CRTC. For me, this is very much a political issue. It is something that, you know, your MP can actually do something about if you call your MP, wherever you are, make a call, because they have to take your call. They have to take your case. Make this your case. Make CKLN your case. If you've never been involved in politics before, make this your political issue. We have a federal election most likely coming up very soon. This is a real attack on democracy in Canada. In any other part of the world, the shutting down of a station would be and is considered a political aggression. And here in Canada, I know that if you're listening to this station, if you've listened to the station and you're listening to the show right now, I know that that it is shocking, because this has never had a precedent before in Canada. This is the first time in Canada that a station has had its license revoked almost immediately after non-compliance of a few statutes of the CRTC. The CRTC has gone beyond its own procedures. It normally has never done this before. It would normally go through procedures before it reached this stage. It did not go through those procedures with CKLN. So in any case, I'm not sure if we have a phone call right now with Daniel Libby on the line there. But if you do want to call, the number again is 416-595-1655. and just tell us about you know, what your thoughts are and what your experience has been with CKLN. So I'll leave it off to Daniel. Do we have a
call? I mean, this is one of those foundation stations that really raised me when we didn't have any, like, outlets as far as, like, music is concerned, smaller artists coming up. I mean, let's face it, we know that the majors, they pay for the spots on the radios, and, you know, we want to hear the variety of people out there, you know, and the states of mind that people that share information. I mean, these type of resources that we have, I mean, it's so vital for us. It's amazing. It is just absolutely amazing.
Oh, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right, thanks. Yeah, that's a caller there talking about, you know, the situation, what's been going on, what his thoughts were. And he was just concerned about finding the petition online. So if you can't find the petition online, you got to go to ckln.fm. But if you can't find it there, you can find it on petitiononline.com/CKLN881. petitiononline.com/CKLN881. CKLN, the number is 881. You'll find the petition on there.
Yep.
And
so let's, you know, there's things that you can do online. Is you can write directly to the CRTC using the online complaint form. Follow the instructions for how to do this on the CKLN.fm website. That's CKLN.fm website. You can go in there and you can write a complaint form. But probably at this, for in my opinion, because this is such a political issue, the best thing that you can do is write or call your MP, tell them you want the CRTC to reverse its decision, and you know that your MP can actually petition to have this done. It can be done, and I'll give you an example. When this was just passed this week, actually, when the CRTC had ruled that it was okay for internet providers to start billing you as if you were, you know, your internet was a hydrometer, and you found your bill skyrocketing, the CRTC, the federal government had to intervene because of the upsurge of protest against this.
Exactly. I've got that headline here. We've got openmedia.ca. That's the one to find on the CRTC Internet Regulations controversy. Openmedia.ca collected a petition with more than 330,000 signatures. And that opposed the internet meter usage and the billing usage-based billing, basically, that the internet providers wanted to do. And then Harper and the conservatives have ordered a review of the CRTC. And the liberals say they're committed to opposing usage-based billing. This is, you know, that was a major issue. And, you know, with 330,000 signatures, that's, you know, we're going to need some more signatures.
416-595-1655.
Yeah,
we need, give us a call if you're listening to the show. Even if you've never called before, give us a call. Tell us what your own experience has been with CKLN over 27 years of broadcasting in Toronto, about to go silent this weekend. This station, this program that you're listening to right now, is going into silence this weekend because of a CRTC decision to shut down this station. That is the news that is the news for the station. That is news for all media in this city. It doesn't matter where you work, whether it's the Toronto Star, the Toronto Sun, or whether you work for Chum FM. This is a serious issue for all practicing journalists. Mm-hmm. This is something that I know there's a lot of hidden and secret shock in a lot of folks who work in the media about what's happening to CKLN. It's with the CRTC decision to shut it down. We are not alone. CKLN is not the only civic organization that is being shut down by using statutes to do it. Other organizations in Canada are also feeling this crunch, which they are now calling the shrinking democratic space in Canada. I think shrinking democratic space in Canada is quite kind, but that is what's happening. The use of the law to drain resources of civic organizations so that they stop their dissent in Canada. But anyway, I think we have a caller on the line. I'll leave it to you, Daniel.
Yeah, hello, caller. Are you on the line?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I heard you referring to hundreds of volunteers earlier. Could you just describe to me who it is you're referring to, the hundreds of volunteers?
Each program in CKLN has its own volunteers and has had... the programs that you hear on CKLN have a history, each of them going back generations. The next host can tell you all about it. Actually, we have the host right here who can tell you about four different hosts in the same program, and each host and each segment of that program over the years has had in accumulation hundreds of volunteers in this station over years. If it wasn't for the volunteers at CKLN, there would be no station over 27 years of broadcasting.
Yes, of course. I didn't know what you were referring to the entire time. But I'm just wondering about the more serious issue of the mismanagement of CKLN and why there's no discussion about how things went terribly wrong, and not without indication, not like people weren't referred to these problems, not like it was a surprise to everybody, and there's just no discussion about the horrible mismanagement and how that would be the main responsibility, I think, for what's happened.
All right. Well, we'll let that viewpoint get across on the show, but we are under a volunteer agreement contract, and we can't try to discredit the people, other people that are volunteering for the station. Now, that is, you know, that's in our programmer's handbook. That's what it's called, programmer's handbook. So basically, when you become a CKLN programmer, you get a handbook, and it's got rules in it, rules and regulations and some policies. So because of that, we're not supposed to be, one, discrediting or, going on air and talking bad about other people volunteering, and number two, we're not supposed to be overtly talking about things that are broken, things that are not working in the station, equipment that's not working. So, you know, those are topics that we stay away from. Now, what I wanted to mention, though, just because we only have a few minutes left, I just wanted to mention here a headline here, because this is a story we've been following and it's bad news. The House of Commons Standing Committee on Natural Resources has decided to hold a two-day public hearings in March 8th and 10th on the topic of the radioactive waste shipment through the Great Lakes. That's not the bad news, that they're going to have these 2 days. But what is bad news is that the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission has announced that they're going to give the Ontario Bruce Power permission to ship these 16 school buses size decommissioned steam generators through the Great Lakes Seaway to Sweden. So the radioactive shipments are going through. We talked about that Harper Obama border deal. There's major things that are going on that, you know, are going to be silenced. G20 exposed. We've got information on that. We've got information. And, you know, there's going to be a sacred fire taking place next week, starting, I guess, today until Sunday the 13th, by Daniel Bernard, an Algonquin firekeeper, who's going to keep a sacred fire burning at Queen's Park. So that's one thing happening. Calgary apparently voted to remove fluoride yesterday, 10-3, to repeal legislation fluoride in the city of Calgary water supply. Those are some of the announcements that I just wanted to make sure that we get in. And just because, you know, this is basically the wrap up here for
this is it
for the show.
This is the wrap up for the show and the wrap up for the station. You know, the CRTC has made its decision based on one part of CKLN's history, one short part that was tumultuous, and has judged the entire station from its inception to this point, and. And that is what the decision of the CRTC, that's what they've done. It is possible to turn around this decision if this issue is made political. This issue is very political. And it's up to you to call your MP to turn this one around and get political, because this is what it is. If you don't get political, others will get political on you. And this is what we're living with here at CKLN, when we actually have the station being shut down for political reasons.
For real, yeah. And check out RUTV News. You can do a YouTube search, RUTV Newsweek, February 7th. That's what the video is called, Newsweek of February 7th. And that's got a bit of an interview, actually. The RUTV crew was in the studio last week. So they interviewed me. They asked me a few questions. They only put in one soundbite. But, you know, I'm in there. There's a bunch of clips from the big meeting that took place on CKLN's future that took place on Monday. So, you know, just search that one, RU Newsweek of February 7th, for a bit of news there on YouTube. And, you know, search CKLN online if you want to find more information. Just go to Google, search CKLN, you'll find all kinds of different viewpoints. You can search CKLN.fm to find the online petition, or, you know, all kinds of you know, more information. And that's going to be about it for this week for February 9th edition, 2011. Word of Mouth Wednesday. So word is bond. Much respect and all the best.
Thanks to Daniel. Thanks to Daniel for being there every single Wednesday.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you,
every
Rob.
Every Wednesday from 7 to 8, Daniel Libby has been on the air on Wednesday Word of Mouth. So big word out to Daniel Libby.
All right, thank you. Yeah, and peace. Much respect to
all of our listeners,
to all the listeners, and everyone that's appeared as a guest on Word of Mouth Wednesday. All the contributors, you know, much respect to everyone. And yeah, hopefully for a peaceful 2011. Much respect. Word is bond. Word out. Stay tuned for the Blues. Dr. Julie Hill with the Blue Remedy coming up next. CKLN 88.1 FM, Ryerson University Campus. Peace out.
People running around, trying to get to the top, when they're really going down. Oh Lord, oh, won't you help them if you please? Oh, 'cause I really don't think they're gonna make it unless they find some remedy. People trying to get to a place they never been, when all the while, Lord, they forget about the friends. Oh Lord, oh, won't you help them?